Sister. Amen. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and why don't we stand together? Thank you. Aren't you glad that our Redeemer is faithful and true? By the way, thank everybody for that were helped yesterday. We had got a lot of work done on the construction site, and we can't thank Brother and Mrs. Stevenson enough to be here and to help. Wow. They're just, what a blessing. And we have next Saturday, we have a crew coming in, and they'll be here. Actually, some will come in on Saturday. I think some come in maybe Monday and Tuesday. And so when they come, listen to what they're doing. They're paying their own plane ticket. Now, we're going to feed them, and we're going to put them up. And they're coming here. Some of them are taking their own personal vacation. You know, you take your vacation, you go to Florida, you go to Bahamas, or you go, I don't know, wherever you go, Tijuana, wherever you go. They're taking their vacation to be with us. And to not only come here, say, oh, wow, they're going to Universal Studios and Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm. Probably not. So be a blessing. And then on top of that, Brother Shumpert, by the way, Brother Shumpert introduced us to Brother Stevenson a few years ago. And you're fired. And then Brother Shumpert introduced us to Mike West. Brother Shumpert is the, humanly speaking, he's the catalyst person to get us so much help. He'll be here also. Pray for his health. And then also he said, hey, by the way, I raised $6,000 to help pay for the material that we're going to use. It's like, don't come over here and work if you're not going to bring money for the material, you know? Wow. So they're bringing the men. They're bringing the money. And wow, what a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where my brother did a great job on Thursday night talking about, he mentioned how he didn't, I don't know if he used the word cluttered, but how when Christians in days gone by, they didn't have so much clutter. They didn't have so much, they didn't have Disneyland, and they didn't have Universal Studios, and they didn't have the internet, and they didn't have the sports, and they didn't have ESPN, and they didn't have ESPN2. What's Sports West? Sports West? Is that like West Coast Sports? Fox Sports West. They didn't have Fox Sports West. They didn't have the Cooking Channel. Man, we go on vacation, it's over. My girls are like, psh, Cooking Channel. You think they want to go out and enjoy life, you know? No, Cooking Channel. And so we're in a series on order in the church, okay? You say order in the church, order in our lives. And it is very, very, it's much more of a challenge today to be focused. Can everybody say focused? Focused on God than ever before. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're in a series on something that's a little personal to our church. I mentioned a couple Thursday nights ago, we're coming off of starting a church in Monterey Park, sending a team to Southeast Asia, three teams really, one to Thailand, one to Laos, one to Cambodia. And then also, we're not done, but we've been over six or 7 years on a building. And all those are not going to be done, but there's going to be less of Long Beach's on hands. And so what we're doing is we're planning for the future. And we're restructuring some things, and we're almost acting like we're starting a new church with the people that we have here so that we can do what God wants us to do and be what God wants us to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look down to verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And so God says he'll just do something really special in your life if you really seek to love him, okay? And then he goes on to say, and this actually, that's not the text verse, but I want you to look at the next six verses. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay, so God is revealing to us, who's us? Only those that have his Spirit, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. By the way, you see that Spirit, it's a big S. That means it's deity. We're talking about the Spirit of God. Not every time the Bible says Spirit, is it the Spirit of God, but there's a big S, so we're talking about deity. For the Spirit, big S, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, a little comparison here, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit, that's a small s, of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And what Paul is explaining to the church at Corinth, he's saying, listen, you can't understand the things of God unless you have the Spirit, okay? There are some practical things in the Bible that are cause and effect, and those unsaved people can understand those things. But he goes on to say, if you're not a real Christian, and by the way, not everybody here is a real Christian, and I'll say this, not all of our members are real Christians, okay? That's not our church. That's church. Jesus had 12 in his church. One was the devil. So that means if one out of his 12, I wonder about us. Okay, just checking on the platform, you know. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know or understand or get or comprehend the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words, in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, of course, Holy Ghost, capital H, capital G, okay, that's God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Please look up here. If you're not a Christian today, we're glad you're here, and we want to help you to become a Christian. But you don't understand loving God with all your heart, up here our theme, with all your soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. Okay? You don't understand that, loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You say, why? Because you're saying, what's in it for me? You know, you say, and by the way, that's not bad. That's just normal. But if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. We don't understand everything, but when we hear something like that, there's something in our soul saying, I want that. I'm falling short, but I want that. Okay? And really the message this morning is, let's make sure that we're all saved. And I'm going to explain that as we go through this new plan for the future. We're getting ready to get in a new building pretty soon, okay? And it's going to be comfortable and all that, but that's not what it's all about. It's to reach more lost people and help people. But we're going to give you a little sequence, but the most important thing, you can't love God unless you're a Christian, okay? Let's look on. And so he said, verse 14 again, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. By the way, people come into church, you preach and teach the Bible, they're not disrespectful, they chuckle under their voice, their breath. Or they'll do this. Okay. Now when the staff is doing that, we're in trouble. Okay. They roll their eyes. By the way, they're not bad people. They don't have spiritual discernment. Okay? Because they're not saved. Let's go on. So, but the natural man, verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. By the way, that's why don't get the cart before the horse. Don't try to teach somebody about life. If you're a Christian, and it's okay to teach them about life, but first what you want to do is try to get them saved. Okay? And then we can teach them the things of God, because the Bible says they don't understand the things of God. And so, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, they don't have spiritual discernment. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Father, help us this morning. We're going to review a little bit. But help us in our journey here on this earth, and then in a specific way here at Pacific Baptist, help us to help people to love God. And help us to help people to get the clutter out of their life, and even get clutter out of our church, Lord, and clutter out of some of our ministries, so that we can be on a path that doesn't have confusion, that's not disorderly, to better enable us to love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to review, and then I'm going to get into the message. I go home on Sunday nights. Now, the staff and I, we work on Saturday, and we work on Sunday, okay? And so my job on Sunday, I mean, it starts early in the morning, and then I come here and I preach, and then I go to Monterey Park, and then I come home, and when I come home, my lunch is at 2 o'clock. And you say, what do you have for lunch? I'm not kidding. Every day, every Sunday for lunch at 2 o'clock, I have two pieces of toast, and I have it on, I have almond butter, and you say, wow, why are you doing that? Because I'm going to eat in a couple hours, and I don't want to fill myself up because it'll affect my preaching. And then at 4 o'clock, I have chicken salad, okay? And then after church, I have 4 quarter pounders with cheese, 3 shakes. I make up for what happened all day long, okay? But we try to go home and relax after church on Sunday night. Now, I'll see people after church briefly, just for about 5 minutes. And then if when I come home and if the clock is like, if it's around 8 o'clock, that's an early day for me. So usually about 13-hour day on Sundays. And so go home. And then the kids will say, what are we doing? I mean, this is Sunday night. I'm like, I want to go to bed. But they want to do something. They want to go to In-N-Out. They want to get a shake. They want to watch Leave It to Beaver. Listen, I've watched every episode of Leave It to Beaver 10 times. I know all Beaver's buddies' names. I know what kind of pants they're wearing. I mean, I know everything. Last Sunday night, okay, we watched. Let me say this: every once in a while, I'll come to my children and I'll say, "Focus, grasshopper," and they go, "Huh?" They don't know what that means. Now, for all of you old timers, where did "focus, grasshopper" come from? You asked, I'll tell you. This is for everybody 40 and over. When we were teenagers, there was this great spiritual movie called Kung Fu. How many remember Kung Fu? David Carradine. All right, woke some of you up. It was one of my favorites, okay? And I'm going to, listen, you're going to go home and they say, what'd you learn about in church today? You learned some great things in church. So I told the kids, I said, listen, guys, I don't know how to get online. They get online for me. This my kids do it. My wife does it. And I do that on purpose. But anyway, I said, look up Kung Fu David Carradine. And that Carradine, something like that. And I said, you guys, Focus Grasshopper, you're going to learn about Focus Grasshopper. And so we turned David Carradine, Kung Fu on. And the introduction of Kung Fu, are you awake? Good. Listen, we just read Learning the Deep Things of God, okay? And Kung Fu was, David Carradine was a Chinese, half white kid. Somehow, I don't know how he ended up in China. He's in China, and him and all these other about 10-year-olds, they end up in this monastery, Buddhist monastery, whatever it is, and then they're all sitting there. And the master says, everybody take a drink of tea. And everybody takes a drink of tea except for this little 10-year-old boy. This is David Carradine when he was a little kid. And he didn't take the drink. And then he said, okay, everybody leave. You're dismissed to never come back except for you. And he's like, whoa. This is David Carradine when he's a little kid, supposedly. I'm sure it wasn't him. But he said, why didn't you drink the tea? And he said, because you are supposed to drink first. I should never drink before my master. I don't respect. And he said, good. You get to stay in our monastery for training, and he's going to learn, like, to be the kung fu expert of the universe, okay? So he stays in there, but here's the deal. You say, well, what's that have to do with Jesus? Okay, hang tight. Okay? Here's the deal. Now he got in because of his respect, and he understood authority. He got in. Now you'd never leave. I guess you'd get expelled for, you know, stealing the incense or something. But this almost looks like caves and stuff. But of course, this is all Hollywood. We understand that. But there is the chief master was a blind guy, okay, and he remember the eyes. Remember the all white eyes. I remember all the all white eyes. And here's the deal. And he said he got the name Grasshopper. One day he comes up to the chief, whatever he is. And he's got the long beard, and he's got the sort of bald head, but he's got the orange robe on. But he's real, you know, you can tell he's the guy. And he said, do you see the grasshopper? This guy's blind. He said, where's the grasshopper, or something like that. And there was a grasshopper. He said, the kid says, I don't see a grasshopper. And he says, it's down by your feet. And there's a grasshopper. And the kid's going, hey, wait a minute. He's blind. I can see. He sees the grasshopper. I don't. And he's teaching him, focus. Be focused. And then they said this. He said, listen, you can leave when you could take, I think it was a pebble, take the pebble out of my hand. This guy's blind. And he'd put his hand out there with a pebble, and the kid would grab it, and he'd never get it. And the kid's probably 24 years, I don't know, he's in his 20s, so he must have been in that monastery for 12 years. And then when he finally grabbed it, he said, you can leave. But he always said this, focus, grasshopper. Focus, grasshopper. And they were in a monastery, but he was saying, focus. Do you know one of our biggest hurdles and hindrances to being what God, being? We're doing all kinds of stuff, but being what God wants us to be, a lack of focus. So maybe the title of the series should be, focus, grasshopper. By the way, I won't tell you that's the boring part. The fun part of Kung Fu is he was so nice and so humble, and it was during the Western days, they'd pick on him and spit on him, and next thing you know it, he was doing Kung Fu all kinds. He'd knock 15 guys out in like 10 seconds. It was wonderful, but we're not supposed to be violent. We're Christians. Amen? Last week we said God is simple. Can everybody say simple and orderly? True Christian scientists study the universe, and they study our bodies, and they understand how orderly and how structured God is. We said last week, Christians and families and ministries that are orderly and simple are much more effective and peaceful for God's glory. Actually, Brother Myers had the book, I guess, for a couple years, and then it was given to me. The book is called Simple Church. And how that churches today are so complicated, it's difficult to help people to truly be the Christians that God wants them to be. Life itself is complex or somewhat complicated, but we need to do everything we can to be focused on the things that are important to God. Einstein said, out of complexity or complicated life, find simplicity. I mentioned the message the most influential messages in my life was organization is your problem. And it talked about as individuals without order, we struggle. With order, we thrive. Marriages without order, we struggle. With order, we thrive. Parenting without order, we struggle. But with order, we can thrive. Whoa, what's wrong with my finances? Most of the time, it's order. It's order. You go to Christian financial advisor, he's going to ask you first thing, give me your budget. Do you have no budget? He says, I need your income and your outgo. It's pretty, by the way, it's pretty simple. What's your income? What's your outgo? What is it? If your outgo is more than your income, that's your downfall or something like that. One of the great Bible verses of the faith. Our relationships with God, our relationship or in the workplace without order, there's struggle with order, we can thrive. A relationship with God, and I'll talk about that this morning, a relationship with God without order will struggle, but with order can thrive. A ministry, a church, a music ministry, an adult Sunday school class, a singles ministry, a Filipino ministry, whatever, without order, it will struggle. With order, it can thrive. Now, I mentioned, I gave you the illustration about the Amish people, and I know a lot of their doctrine is off, but they're very peaceful people. They're people that have that have order. They're very, very simple people. And they're, by the way, 80% of their children follow their faith. And by the way, their faith is, you're talking, we're strict over here. Well, you don't know what strict is. No cars. No cell phones. No phones at your house. They have like a public phone where everybody can see you on the phone. So in other words, the whole community comes out. It's like, I wonder who he's calling. You know, see the teenager out there? Say, you know, oh, man, my teenager, I found out they were calling their girlfriend. He's 10 years old in his bedroom underneath the sheets. Not in that community. If you're 12, the whole community sees you on the phone. But, you know, one of the reasons their 80% of their kids follow their faith, and then their religion, the people of their religion, it's doubling the amount of people that stay in the religion. It doubles every 20 years. So basically, the moral of that story, in about 100 years, we're all going to be Amish. Anyway, our culture makes it easy for life to be complicated. Lack of order and lack of simplicity. It takes a lot more discipline to have order in the year 2013 than it did in the year 1913. You say, why? There's two. One is technology, okay? There's too many things grabbing at us for our attention. And let me, why don't you do this, Brother Jeremy? Can you put that on? Can we have lights, guys? You're going to see this over and over and over at Pacific Baptist. There's four steps we're going to institute in our church to help us to walk with God, to love God, to help others, actually to love God, serve God, love others, and serve others, okay? And we're not going to get this, but you're going to see this over. Steps of spiritual growth, okay? Go ahead, Brother Jeremy. Step one is to love God. Can everybody say love God? Love God. You say, why is that step one? Because that's God's order. That's God's order. That's not my order. What is the first and great commandment? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your... By the way, that's why if we get out of God's order, everything gets messed up. And so here at Pacific Baptist, we want to communicate loving God. And by the way, you can't love God. And we read it this morning. I'll talk a little bit about it. You cannot love God unless you're saved. You can't love, we read that 1 Corinthians 2, you're not spiritual, you don't have spiritual discernment, okay? And so, loving God, and then baptism. Baptism is the first step of obedience. You say, why do you emphasize baptism? And we don't emphasize it enough. It's because that was the first step you take, it's after salvation. First step, Ethiopian eunuch, get saved. What hinders me to be baptized? And we're not going to teach on baptism this morning, but that's number one. So that's the step. Let's see the next step. So you're going to see these steps. Love others, okay? And how do you love God? You got to get saved. First step of baptism, and then of spiritual growth, okay? And then love others. You say, why is that second? Because Jesus said that is the second great commandment. And he says, you really can't love God unless you're loving others. The first step, you make a commitment to love God. Then you say, okay. It's like this. If you say, I love you, honey, and it's your fiance or your wife, and then you say, how do I love you? By the way, don't love your spouse based on your way of loving her. And one Thursday night, I went over the love language. Do you know some people are touchers? How many just love touching? By the way, if you're single, don't go there, okay? Married people, how many just, you're a toucher? Raise your hand. You're a toucher. Okay. How many, we're not saying you don't like to be touched by your spouse, but you're not a big toucher. Raise your hand. Good. Okay, fine. Look, if you're married who's a toucher and you're not a toucher, you better learn how to touch. Are you a toucher? You don't know. That means you're not. Okay? My son, Nathaniel, hey, if you marry, listen, my son's 10. What happened? You guys behave yourself up here. I'll put you right in the front row. My son, Nathaniel, let me say, any of you 10-year-old girls or 9-year-old, if you marry my son, you better be a toucher. This kid, he'll be 20 years old saying, hey, Dad, can I sit on your lap? He's a toucher. Oh, he grabbed me, hugging me, and I'm like, fine. Now, son, when you start shaving, you can't do this all the time. Now, but the point is, you say, how do you love God? You love God God's way. Okay, and that's, you say, oh, well, you know, I don't forget this family in our church. They seem like they really love God. Brother Coomley came up and he said, Pastor, this family really loves God. They were living in fornication. If you're living in fornication, God loves you, but you are not loving God. Come on, don't make it quiet on us. That's what God says. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, if the wife is saying, honey, do you love me? And he says, yes. Okay, can you come home after work and quit coming home at midnight and not even tell me where you are? No, I do love you. No, you don't. Love is defined by the object of the lover. Okay? And so we'll love God is first, love others, because Jesus said that's the second great commandment. Okay, number third, serving God. Okay, serving God. And by the way, loving others, and we'll talk, I mentioned it last Sunday night, the best in our context, different churches have a different way of doing it. In our context, at the ground level, the best way to love and to be loved is in a Sunday school class. Because it's, you know, God so loved the world, it's a little difficult for us to love the world. We're not omnipresent, we're not omnipotent, and we're not omniscient. We don't know everything, we don't have all power, and we're not everywhere. So what we try to do, we have a structure in our church to say Sunday school, listen, if you're going to have a baby in our church, don't have a baby in the church, but I mean, you're in our church, you're going to have a baby. You know what we do? The Sunday school class for a week, is it a week, a few days? You know, the Sunday school class, you know what they do? They bring food to your house so the husband doesn't have to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken every day. Well, we do. Now, who does that? If we didn't have a way, if we didn't have order to do that, you know what? Everybody looking around and the people in the class would be saying, well, nobody loves us, and some of us didn't even know he had a baby. Okay? So love others, Sunday, love or serve God. Okay? And we'll get to that level. You love God, you get saved, you start loving God, you start growing, and then you start loving others, and then you start serving God. And we'll talk more about that. Then next, serving others. Okay, turn that off. We can have the lights on. I say that, you're going to see that a lot. Our goal, listen, if you're brand new, Chanty, if you are brand new in our church, when I see you or Brother Charlie sees you or this Charlie sees you, you know what we want to do? We want to bring you through those four steps. You say, why? Because those four steps are honoring God. Okay? Now, and I know this is a little bit more of a Thursday night type of a message, but I want you to understand that. We desire that all of us, and that's one reason I want to communicate it on a Sunday morning, that all of us have the wisdom to know how to love God in a simple way here at Pacific Baptist Church, and then know how to help others to take these four simple steps to fulfill these Christ-honoring goals. Now, this week, we're starting with loving God, and this is step number one, okay? And I know this sounds sort of elementary, but it's not elementary to everybody. We start with something as simple as salvation. Can everybody say salvation? Salvation. And baptism. I won't talk as much about a baptism. Step one at Pacific Baptist, loving God. The first step is to be saved. You cannot truly love God unless you're truly saved. Oh, this is sort of, I got to say this. Unfortunately, through the years of pastoring, and this is just, this is life. We've 15 years ago, we had a family, and the wife was unfaithful. And unfortunately, it was a real nice family, but she was unfaithful. And then she got pregnant. And I'll be careful here. I know we have a mixed company. We have, the husband's going, I wonder if this is my child. Okay. And by the way, it is or it isn't. Right? I mean, you understand that? I mean, listen, we're not doing birds and bees this morning, but it is or isn't. Okay? And then if it is, we got to face it. And if it isn't, we got to face it. Okay? And what they did is they did some type of a DNA test, and they found out it isn't. It isn't. It wasn't. You say, what'd they do? None of your business. We already talked about too much drama this morning. We've been to Kung Fu. We've been all over the place. But please get this. You are either a Christian or you're not. Now that was born of physical seed to identify with who was the real father. Okay? You are either, you're not, well, I'm sort of a, no, you're not. You're either born again or you're not. And by the way, that's not a spirit of condemnation. That's saying, if you're not, you want to become a Christian. Okay? And if you are, praise God. And so the first step, we want to make sure that everybody, and I know everybody's not going to be, but we want to emphasize, first of all, we want to make sure that everybody that comes in the doors of this church, you're truly saved. You're truly born again. You cannot be, by the way, you might be a God-fearing person, but you're not saved. You can respect the things of God, maybe because you were taught that as a child, but you can't be saved. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7 real fast. I know we're going all over the place, but we're, by the way, there's order to where we're headed on Sunday mornings here. You ever clean out a room, and before you clean out the room, it's like, whoa! You just pull everything out, it's a mess. And part of our Sunday morning messages is we're pulling stuff out of the closet and cleaning things up so that we can have order, okay? Order in the church, order in your marriage, order in your life. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 15. Matthew chapter 7, we'll go to verse 15 over to, we'll read all the way over to verse, where are we? 23. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Please look up here. Now, what's he saying? Not everybody that prays is going to heaven. Not everybody that calls God, Jesus, Lord, is going to heaven. Now, look, I'm not saying that. The Baptist Church isn't saying that. This is, if you have a red letter edition, this is Jesus saying that. Okay? So what he's saying is, obviously there's some people that are saying, Lord, Lord, they're not going to heaven. Okay? And he said, not verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Okay, and we would call that preaching in thy name. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I, God, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now look up here. Now we're not going to, I'm not preaching on that this morning, but here's the point. Say, Pastor, what's the point this morning? The point this morning is this. We're trying to get on a path here at Pacific Baptist. We're trying to bring more order, and the first thing we want to do is to love God. But you can't love God unless you're really saved. And I want us to understand two things. Number one, if you've been a member and you have even been baptized, that doesn't necessarily mean you're saved. Have you truly been born again? Okay? And then number two, when someone new comes in our church, let's not just give them a coffee, let's not just give them a donut, and let's not just try to help their hurts, let's try to get them born again. Okay? Make sure in a nice way, you say, oh, well, I'm afraid they might get offended if I ask if they're saved. Come on! There's a lot, it's a lot more, and we're not trying to offend them, we're trying to give them eternal life. We're trying to help them to become a child of God. And so that's number one. We're not going to go there. Matthew 13 talks about tares. You know what a tear is? A tear is it's a weed that looks like wheat. You want to listen to a great sermon, listen to Brother Suter's sermon on church planting. It's not about planting church. It's about Satan planting people in the church. His belief is most trouble in the church are Christians that aren't Christians. They look like Christians. They smell like Christians. They feel like Christians. They're not. They're tares. They're tares. And he said, often pastors are too nice, and assistant pastors are too nice, and Brother Pineda's are too nice, and you know what God does? He takes them out of the church. By the way, God says, don't you just say, oh, don't come up and say, I think this guy's a tear. No, let God do the work, okay? But there's, so we see that Jesus said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, and then not everybody that looks like a Christian is necessarily a Christian. Let's do all we can to make sure that everybody's saved. By the way, let me say this. There's different types of lost people. There's some that are seemingly defiant to God. By the way, not everybody that says, ah, God, I don't want you. A lot of times, you know who those people are? God's been working on them, and they're like buckling up their seatbelt. They're going, they want God, but they don't. We went to camp a couple weeks ago, and Brother Grandy preached a great sermon. Brother Grandy teaches in our Bible college. And he talked about he was in the Navy before he was unsaved. He wasn't a Christian. And he went to, someone invited him to a, he told a little bit more. I won't tell all the story. But people were witnessing to him. It's like, oh, I want that. But God was working in his heart. And he went to a church. Was it a youth meeting? Were you guys there? Were you there? Was it a youth meeting? Or he went to a church in San Diego, and he sat down, and I think he said he felt like that pastor was talking to him. Yeah. By the way, we are talking to you. We're not talking to the church across the street, right? Oh, he was talking about me. My wife must have told him. No, the Holy Spirit told us. The truth is, we all got pretty much the same problem, so come on, quit taking it so personal. I don't know how many times people in the back, who told you what? I don't even know who you are, okay? Well, you, the half the whole sermon was right to me. Well, good, that's what you came for, right? And he's Brother Grandy, he's a pastor now in Bakersfield, drives here every Tuesday. He was sitting there and he got so mad, he got up and walked out. And the guy that was speaking said something like, "Yeah, if you're walking out because of, you know, you can't take the truth or something, you know, you better, I hope God keeps you up all night." And then Brother Grandy went, "Ah," and walked out. And guess what happened that night? God kept him up all night. All night. And then he said, "Man, God kept putting people in my life." And he said, one day, he got so mad at God. He was fighting God because really he wanted to come to God, but we've been sold a bill of goods. We're like, "Well, if I come to God, I can't have fun anymore." Is going to jail having fun? Is fighting with your wife every day having fun? Come on, that's not fun. You just think it's fun. Getting a DUI having fun? Come on. You know, "I can't have fun anymore. I'll be just like some, you know, kung fu in a, you know, monastery." And so he told the story. He said he got so mad at God, he went out, sort of out in the country, and he put his fist up to God. And he said, "God, leave me alone." Let me say this. He really didn't mean that. So when you see people that are angry and they're like, "I don't want God," it doesn't always mean they don't want God. They're fighting. They're fighting. Okay? And by the way, it's a spiritual battle. You pray for them. You love them. You help them. You just bring them along and be patient with them. I give up on that guy. I've witnessed to him I don't know how many times. You don't know what's going on in their soul. They might be that close to God. Some are seemingly defiant toward God. And then some are deceived. By the way, some are deceived because of a cult. Some are deceived because of a false religion. Some are deceived just because of confusion. Some are just, they're just in the church. Sometimes children that grow up in the church, sometimes they have a false profession. I have 8 children. 2 of my children supposedly got saved, and then later on, something came up in their life, and they said, "I'm not saved." I'm talking preacher's kids, okay? Our home is clean, and the kids aren't doing dope and drinking alcohol, and we're not listening to, you know, one of our guys in our Bible college. I said I used to listen to rock and roll, and I used to listen to Black Sabbath. He came up to me and said, "Pastor, tell me your favorite Black Sabbath." I said, "Man, get out of here. Tell me your favorite." I said, "I'm not into that anymore, okay?" I said, "You know, 666, bad sign, okay? And so let's not talk about Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, and Black Sabbath right now, okay?" But my son Timothy, Brother Ross's grandmother, one night, or early in the morning, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, she was getting a little senile. She walked out their backyard and fell into the swimming pool and drowned. And we had a swimming pool at that time. And my son Tim, I don't know if he is 11 or 12. I guess it was just someone close to him that he and actually we weren't close to grandma. We were close to the Rosses. Death knocked at his door. 11, 12-year-old kid. And he said, "Dad, I'm not saved. I'm not saved." And he got saved. Now, sometimes he acts like he's not saved, but he's saved. No, he's a good guy. Then my daughter, Sarah. So Sarah is, and I have 3 daughters. Sarah's just, I mean, just the, you know, she's just a great daughter. Great daughter. But when she was maybe 13. She may have been older than that. She was grew up in a preacher's home and grew up in the church, and you know, they're in the nursery and really just good kids. And she was reading Ann Judson's biography. And I understand, you know, we just read it. We don't really understand the spiritual things, but God uses different ways to bring us to Him. And she was reading, and I think Ann Judson, who's Adoniram Judson's wife, was so close to God, okay, that it brought my daughter under severe conviction. By the way, you never get saved unless you're under conviction. You don't just pray a prayer and you're saying, no. You have to understand that you're under the judgment of God. Okay? You're guilty. You've been to court? You're guilty, but you're guilty before the judge of heaven. And my daughter said, I'm not saved. And she got saved. John Wesley, and I'm done. You ever seen a Wesleyan church? A Methodist church? Okay? John Wesley was a missionary to the American Indians. He came here to America. And he failed. He got on a boat back to England. Nobody got saved. He got on a boat, go back to England, and that boat he knew was going to sink because of the storm they were in. And he began, by the way, when you're about to die, the new car you wanted doesn't mean anything to you. Okay? You know, that new iPad or iPod or whatever you guys are all using, that doesn't mean much. Okay? You say, what's meaningful? I'm going to face God. And Wesley thought he was going to die in that boat. And he saw a group of Christians. They were the Moravian. They were Moravian Christians. And they were so peaceful on that boat. The waves are coming over. This ship is out of control. And he saw these Christians singing to the Lord. And he began to search his soul. And he said, he looked at them and he said, they have something I don't have. And he looked up, I don't know if he looked up to heaven or just voiced it out. He said, I went to America to convert the American Indians. He said, and I'm not even converted. Went back, by the way, he had so much, and I would say wrong theology, and I'm not going to go into all that. Diluted Protestant. It was just, anyway, I won't go into all that. He was so knowledgeable that the simple salvation to him was too simple. And he went back, and he wanted to become a real Christian. And he said, he finally found some Christians that explained to him the simple plan of salvation. We're sinners. We're guilty before a holy God. The God of heaven sent his only son because he loved you to die on the cross to pay for the penalty of your sin. And you understand that you are under the condemnation and you're guilty before God and you're on your way to a Christless eternity and you got to turn to Jesus and accept what he did on the cross to pay for your... He says, it's too simple. And he finally said, I don't know what to do. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to find those Moravian Christians. They got it. And he found them, and they told him the same thing, and he got saved. He was so excited about his salvation because it was a free gift. He's like, man, I've been working, and I became a missionary. And he was so excited that he was saved, they started what they called the Wesleyan Revival. Because he was so excited that it's Jesus only. I don't have to do anything. I don't do anything to get it. I don't do anything to keep it, and I can't do anything to lose it. What's the message, Pastor? The message is this. We're not going to love God unless we're saved. Let's, number one, let's make sure we're saved. Let's make sure our children are saved. And every time a new person comes in the door, let's love them, but let's help them to get saved. Let's bow our heads and let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed.